Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Society and sports off the air.
I'm not.
Only the wealthy kids get educational opportunity or professional. Alfred, it's an example of institutional discrimination. I agree with you, Al. More kids should get the opportunity for team building and just playing. It's all about the rich kids. Love you and your point of view. Not fair to kids whose parents can't afford sports. Only rich families can participate. Bull shizzle. Yeah. Valor just won the state championship in football.
Yeah.
I mean, what do those parents pay?
I don't know.
I mean, that's certainly a private club, right, for football.
Yeah, I mean, that's something totally different, though. I mean, if you're paying for school, you got your hard-earned money out. I'm just saying when you and many people equate that to if you don't pay when they're young, they can't play for Valor. And if they can't play for Valor, they can't get seen. Therefore, they can't get the scholarship. I get it.
Well,
I just think that the process, you know, I'm coming from a different era. And I was lucky enough to have my high school football coach play in the NFL, and my high school basketball coach play in the NBA. Okay, so
that's pretty unique.
Right, right. It's a very unique situation. I was in an all-black athletic family of athletes in the city of Houston that existed and thrived in one little community. You know, and we produced a lot of good athletes that become better people. So that's what I'm used to. So, and I have so many of my teammates, man, so many of my teammates from the University of Colorado that have ventured into the world of high school sports and coaching around here that have given so much. They've given so much of their time and their energy to the process. I just applaud them, man, because it's hard work. You know, and you know how badly that I would love to be part of a high school experience for these young men that are playing high school football around here. But because of my hours, I just can't do it. All I can do is clinic with them in the summer, but I can't coach the team. Unless we go to mornings.
Oh, my Lord, stop. I've been saying that for like 10 years. That's the last thing I want to do. You're like, it'd be great. I go, no. Every morning when I listen to Mike and Mark, and they do a terrific job. I
listen
just,
to them every morning at 6 a.m., and I'm up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in bed, and I lay around. And I think, isn't it wonderful?
I'm moving. I'm up at 5. I'm ready to go.
And then you say, oh, they're done at 9, and wouldn't that be great to have the rest of the day? I'm like, no, you'd be exhausted.
Now, in my young days of go-getting it, I probably wouldn't have liked to be up at 6 a.m.
This is the perfect show. Are you kidding me? No thank you on everything else.
I think next year, now that I have all the kids out of the house, I'm going to coach basketball.
Basketball?
Basketball. It's my first love. Or really, my saxophone was my first love.
Right. Why don't you coach some saxophone?
No, I'm not that good anymore. I was in the concert band, though.
Braggart.
You were too, right?
I was, yes.
Were you in a marching band?
One horrible year.
What do you mean, one horrible year? If you're in a marching band, you have more cachet than anybody on the football team or the basketball team where I'm from.
In Houston? Where that's cool, not in Ipswich. where they throw stale donuts at your head from Dunkies. Get this day all day, McKee.
I remember watching it in the Houston Rodeo.
Here's what happened.
Man. It was great.
I played trumpet, and I liked being in the concert band. But they said in order to be in concert band, you had to be in marching band. Because nobody wanted to be in marching band.
Why?
Because it wasn't cool. It, I went to a small...
You weren't very coordinated or...
had nothing to do with that.
Did you guys dance in marching
Dude,
band?
I was an
Or just
athlete.
Formations?
You may not think I was an athlete, but I was an athlete.
I know that you are.
The last thing I wanted to do was march around at freaking halftime of the Ipswich High School football games. Looking like a turd.
How many people did you guys have in your graduating class?
135.
Oh, my goodness.
We had five kids. I love this story. I was in the top 10% of my class. I was 13. At graduation, I was totally shocked I was in the top 10%. I was the last kid of the top 10%, right? 135, 13, I was it. We had five kids in shop class that flunked the year before that I didn't even know were in the school. And I was like, how did I finish in the top 10? And then I see Ray Chouinard. I go, Ray.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Oh, yeah, I've been in shop class basically all year. I had to get like 3 credits to graduate. And then there was Ray, and then there was Sully, and then there was Mikey, and then there was the other Sully. And I was like, oh, thank you, guys.
They elevated you
yes.
on the curve.
If it wasn't for...
How did your brother... Where'd your brother finish?
Oh, my brother was unbelievable. He finished...
Where did the doctor finish?
He finished in high school. The school he went to was St. John's Prep, which would be like Regis. Okay? It'd be like
Your parents paid for that.
My parents did pay for that. He finished number 3 out of a class of 300. Number 3 overall. Perfect grades. And it was just the reason he was 3 was some sort of bizarre smidgen of A pluses, you know, for whatever reason. The top 16 kids in his class all went to Ivy League schools.
Fantastic.
And he turned down Harvard. He was accepted to Harvard. He turned him down. And he went to the University of Pennsylvania. He was a chemical engineering major, which he finished with a 4.0. And he was in the Wharton School of Business, which he finished with a 4.0.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Then he got his, MD from Dartmouth, but he started at Columbia. That's my brother, whose wife is also an Ivy League, went to Penn, and got her medical degree at Columbia.
Well, they may be doing okay these days.
Yeah, they're not struggling.
Hey,
they're doing okay.
Hey, here's something that is every year that, I see these awards. I get a little nostalgic about it because a couple stories here. I won the Buckus Award when I was at the University of Colorado, and it was a fairly new award at the time when I won it. And one of the highlights of winning the Buckus Award was meeting and getting to know Dick Buckus. And so during the award program, I was up there. I was with Ray Nitschke, Dick Buckus, and a bunch of other great linebackers who had played in the NFL. And, you know, this is before, of course, I was a member of any NFL team. My mom, of course, was with me with my younger brother, Sean. My other brother, Andre, was in the military, deployed. And I was receiving this award. The Buckus Award, and my mom was just overwhelmed. I'll never forget this day, man, because she got to meet her man. She got to meet Tom Landry. Mm. And it's the first and only time, because every time I saw Tom Landry, he had his fedora on. He always had it on, right? I mean,
I didn't know he took it off.
right. He's always had a fedora on. But I met Coach Landry.
I've never seen him without the fedora
exactly,
on.
Exactly, right? Because you've right. only seen him on television.
I couldn't
right?
even imagine what he looked like without the fedora
right.
on.
So I had, in that moment, a chance to introduce myself to Coach Landry and for my mom to get a picture with Tom Landry. Still to this day, D-Mac, it's one of the coolest things that has ever happened for me and my family is that day. Growing up in Houston, Texas, growing up a cowboy slash Oiler fan, you know, that time period for us growing up, and having the Cowboys being who they were and all the things. You know, we used to go out in the yard and, you know, go up and down, you know, with the Landry formations and all that and the shifts and everything. Man, meeting him during this time period was great. And I'll tell you the second story. When I was at the University of Colorado, when I was a junior, I won the Ohio Touchdown Club Linebacker of the Year. Okay, so it was the equivalent to...
Your junior year or senior year?
My junior year.
Okay.
Okay, so it was equivalent to the Buckus before the Buckus was a big deal.
Okay.
My senior year, I won Ohio Touchdown Club Linebacker of the Year again. So I went the year before.
Defending champ.
Right. And so the next year.
Back to back.
Dave Platty called me, and Platty's great. Platty's always been great. That's my guy. Dave right. Platty's my guy. He called me and said, Alfred, you won the Ohio Touchdown Club Linebacker of the Year. I said, Dave, we did that last year. I say, just tell him thank you, but I'm not going to be able to make it to the...
Oh, my God. You are ridiculous.
I wasn't going to be able to make it to the Ohio, because it was in Columbus, Ohio.
So what?
I'm just saying, I didn't...
Future of things to come.
Right. So,
well,
so I went...
Not far from Cincinnati, Columbus.
Right, so I declined... to go to the award show.
Oh, what a jerk.
They gave it to somebody else.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
So the award shows are being there to at least accept the award.
When you watch the People's Choice Award, don't you notice that the winner's always there?
They don't ever have people video?
They don't. It's only the Academy Awards, like, sets people up like stars for failure. Like, you know, they tell you if you're winning or not.
For the Academy Awards?
Not for the Academy Awards, but for the other awards.
Oh,
out there.
Okay.
Of course they gave it to somebody else.
Yeah. So the banquet circuit is...
Would they have been willing to pay for you to go there?
Yeah.
And you just turned down a free trip to receive an award.
I was there the year before. I knew I didn't want to be in Ohio then.
Were you disappointed when you didn't get the award?
I was like, that's cool. I won the Buckus this year anyway, so.
There you go.
Matt Russell won the Buckus.
That's true.
And you know who else won the Buckus?
Buckus?
He didn't win the award. No. It's named after him.
Sorry.
He's a member of the Denver Broncos.
Brandon Marshall?
No.
Von Miller. Right. Duh.
Right.
Von Miller is the nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And that is really a very cool honor. Peyton Manning surprised him today, and the Broncos got his parents and relatives to surprise him as well.
Oh, that's
so
great.
There's a cool video on the Broncos website of Peyton unveiling a jersey that says Walter Payton or WP Man of the Year, MOI. And then his mom and dad came out and, hey, surprise, and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I think that one of the best things that happened with Vaughn is when his parents became more involved with his life by moving to Denver. I think that really helped him out with his transition after Elvis Dumervil. We talked about it briefly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis Dumervil left, and he was going through some issues, and that relationship looks to be as strong as ever, and I'm hoping that they enjoy Denver as much as I have.
The 49ers. You took another look at them.
I did. The team plays hard. They make dumb mistakes, but against bad teams, they're in all games. It's hard to see how an NFL team can make the same mistakes over and over and over again. It's really hard, and it looks bad. But as I look back to it, last year, we were in the same predicament with our quarterback situations here, and it didn't change. It's just who you are that particular year. The 49ers look like a team that have so many gotcha plays that sometimes, at times, it looks like they're a gotcha offense. They have great screen plays. They use their fullback more than any team that we have seen in the NFL this year. Nobody has more catches than Juszczyk, the talented fullback that they have.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big part of their offense. Kittle, the tight end, is responsible for for big plays. Even though he's not a huge guy, he's a great break free and run tight end. I mean, he looks fantastic running with the football. The running backs, all of them run hard, okay? All of the running backs, especially Breida, who's out, runs hard. And the other kid, I think, is Oliver.
Wilson,
number 41.
Wilson!
Yeah, number 41 runs like Breida, but he doesn't have the same vision. He looks like a bigger version of Philip Lindsay, but without the vision. So when you look at them, they run a play action. They run the boot. They run the boots. They run the crossing routes. They will take a running back and move him out of formation. And in a couple games, I saw running backs coming out in empty formation and Shanahan drawing up great plays. You know, getting running backs one on one with linebackers. You know, when you go empty formation and you keep one linebacker in the game, then that in a man to man situation, that linebacker runs with the linebacker runs with the running back, and the running backs that they have with the 49ers, well, they're good. I just told you they play like Philip Lindsay, so they can catch the football and cause problems. He gets the matchups that he wants, and he takes total advantage of them. But they always seem to find a way to shoot themselves in the foot with turnovers, with fumbles, with interceptions late in the game, untimely three and outs. It's just the team just does not have a real flow to them.
Poor coaching, poor talent.
I would say because they keep making the same mistakes over by turning the ball over, and it's not the same player all the time. I'm going to say it's the it's the players.
Yeah, I think so too.
But you know,
what are you going to do?
I always look at it like this too, D-Mac. The coaches shouldn't have those players in there if they thought that they would make those mistakes.
Well, I think one of the greatest fallacies is next man up.
There's no such thing.
I agree. If it was really truly next man up, you'd be paying everybody the same amount of money. That's the way that goes. Next man up.
Can you imagine what would happen with the Steelers if it was next man up? Can you imagine what happened with the Chargers if it was next man
up?
You're
going to have a drop off depending on who's
drop
on
off.
There's a reason why one guy makes $20 million and you don't.
Yeah, you saw what happened with Aaron Rodgers with the next man up, you know, but it looks like, you know, same Packers to me as they were last year.
Now, is the coach going to come and say, oh, we are screwed? No, you heard it today with VJ. He was talking all about, well, hey, what a great opportunity for Deshaun Hamilton to get in the mix. Deshaun Hamilton played in like 47 plays the other day, had zero targets, which means all he was doing was blocking.
Or
running ghost routes or whatever, right? So he's... That's a tough day.
There's your guy, DeAndre Baker, up there for the Jim Thorpe Award.
Is that for best
defensive back of the year?
There you go.
You just asked
that
about
is,
him.
That is my guy. Yeah.
That's the guy you see playing for the Denver Broncos next year?
He'd be hard to pass on. Greedy Williams is another guy, but I think Greedy may... Now, I think the Broncos are going to be drafting 19 or 20, 21, something like
that. Right.
But if now I'll tell you this, at 20, DeAndre Baker, sign me up. You know, one of the best rookies of the year is Derwin James, your guy.
That was my guy.
And Denzel.
Everybody who listens to this show knows that was my guy.
He's your guy, and he's had an unbelievable rookie year. And he was taken where? 13, I think, something like that. And Denzel Ward was, of course, taken fourth. He's had a great year.
Great year.
I mean, is anybody doubting his long-term ability to play corner in the league?
That guy has come up huge.
Derwin James was 17th. Well, I'm telling you, this guy, DeAndre Baker, is one of those type of guys. And he's probably a little bit deeper in the draft. And if you're just look at where the Broncos are and what their needs are. And tell me cornerback isn't one of them.
Let me ask you this, because you asked me and then we had to leave quickly the other day when we started down this line. So I'll ask you, do you re-sign Bradley Roby? if you're the Broncos?
I do.
You sign him to what? He's already making over $10 million a year.
I have to. I think I have to sign him.
What do you sign him to?
As little as I could get away with.
Like what?
I don't know.
It's too late now. He's going to hit free agency now.
Yeah, but I don't know if his value is going to be all that great out there.
He's got four games left. He's going to hit free agency.
I get in the mix. I put a proposal in front of him. Maybe I lose him. I don't pay top dollar for him. But you have put too much time and energy just to let him walk away. And you need...
Does he end up playing for Wade and the Rams next year?
That is impossible for me to say because I don't know what their financial situation is. And it probably will come down to finances. But to just say, I'm frustrated, just get somebody else. Who? You're talking about one of the toughest positions in football to fill.
But do you pay Bradley Roby $10-plus million a year?
Maybe. Because what would you be paying a free agent cornerback? That's kind of the market for free agent cornerbacks. And if you can list me another free agent corner, because you're going to need a free agent and a draft pick next year and Chris Harris.
Oh, you're going to need three corners next year.
That's right.
Three corners. How you get them is how you get them, but you're going to need three corners. Two probably drafted.
You're probably right, because you're going to need depth as well.
Because I think Yadam is going to be a star on this team. I think he's going to be a star. And if Chris Harris comes back as strong as he's been, you have your two starting cornerbacks right there.
Maybe, but we'll see how Chris Harris comes back from his injury.
But that's what I'm saying. So Chris Harris,
how long has Chris Harris played? 8 years?
Same years as Vaughn, so 9, right?
You're getting a little bit long in the tooth.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying Chris Harris comes back.
Fine, but you got to work for the future
Yadam
as well.
Yadam steps up. Because he's looked like that guy all year. Even in the preseason, I kept on saying how he was with every receiver. He just wasn't making a play.
We know Tremaine Brock ain't going to be here next year.
I don't think Tremaine Brock comes back. But I do believe that it's going to be tough to retain Bradley Roby. Because I don't know if it's...
Yeah, you might lose him. You may lose him.
Yeah, but I'm just asking, is that a huge loss?
You're going to have to get a corner in free agency. And you're going to have to draft one.
Would you pay the premium money for Bradley Roby?
I'd make him an offer, unless there's another corner that you want to get out there.
How do you think Bronco Country feels about that? Should they be working on the deals that they should be working on?
These are the unsexy draft moves. You know, this is...
Oh, a cornerback is certainly a sexy move.
Not compared to quarterback.
Not compared to... Quarterback,
it's better than offensive line. I'll give you that.
Oh man, that kid Yadam is the real deal. He's the real deal.
303-713-1043. If Jalen Ramsey has worn out his welcome in Jacksonville,
that guy belongs to the Broncos right now.
There is no way Jalen Ramsey has worn out his welcome. Well, he's a little annoying, but he's one of the top corners in the league.
If the Broncos if Jalen Ramsey is in the conversation, we got to be in that conversation. We need that kind of help in the AFC West.
Everybody does, though. Jalen Ramsey is really, he is annoying, but he's really good.
Huge talk about them trading Jalen Ramsey because of that fifth-year option and then them not wanting to commit to a long-term contract in Jacksonville.
And what happened?
He's had an average to above-average year. But against the best competition, he's played great.
Well, the question is, you're going to get a free agent cornerback. You got to draft one.
Two drafts.
That DeAndre Baker, that's one of those guys right there. He just won best.
That was your guy, the Thorpe Award, the best defensive back.
That is my guy. If I had my druthers at pick number 20, DeAndre Baker. Here's what's the shocking thing that I would do. I would trade Von Miller.
Oh, you know what? Let's go to break.
This is the Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Dancing with myself? Not yet.
On the floors of Tokyo, down in London town, so go, go, go. Oh, with the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancer with myself. Oh, when there's no one else inside, back in the crowd and lonely night. Well, I wait so long for my love vibration. I've been dancing with myself. Oh, 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 oh. Dancing with myself.
I would be remiss if I didn't wish you a happy anniversary today.
For?
8 years ago tonight.
Oh!
Josh McDaniels was fired.
Way to go.
And you went into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Rick George was just at the function just the, just, what, 2 days ago. That's probably why they had to wait till Wednesday. Because he had to fly out to New York to be part of
the... Yeah, they do the College Football Hall of Fame deal on a Tuesday in New York.
Yeah, first Tuesday of the December year in New York.
So happy anniversary. Both for going into the college football. Can you believe that was 8 years ago? Holy cow.
Yes, I can.
Seems like yesterday. I was wearing an Argyle sweater. We were in the Oprah studios. Do we have the audio? Do we have that classic piece of audio? Of when we found out, I don't think we do. Oh my God, who could ever forget it? Josh getting fired. Think about the tone and the way we were talking about the Broncos then. What a disaster it was, right?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the way that Josh McDaniels put us out there. I mean, the things that he did in a Denver Bronco uniform was just outlandish.
I mean,
we would be involved in a scandal that, you know, we were out there and videotaping other teams illegally and doing all the things that the Patriots were fined for, and we were doing it. It just seemed preposterous to us.
Yeah, think about this. Josh McDaniels was fired at the exact same point in terms of length of service that Vance Joseph is right now.
Much different tenure.
Don't you think? And yeah, VJ had some heat because the team wasn't playing all that great. But nobody really... The reason why I think people were upset with VJ, first of all, we talked about it earlier this week. I don't think John did a great job in really putting his arm around VJ. And you know, John was kind of... John was kind of using VJ as a human shield, basically, for the past year. If John wants to do something very soon, he will absolutely say out loud, VJ will be coming back next year. He really could do that now, by the way. He really could, Al. He has many opportunities where he could come out and just say, I'm really proud of the way Vance and the coaching staff has adjusted this year. We're building towards the future. We had a great rookie draft class. We anticipate next year will be the same. There's no doubt VJ will be the coach for us next year. He hasn't done that yet. And I talked to a couple different people last night after the show, and the opinions are kind of all over the place with what VJ has to do in these last four games. The consensus was 2-2 should be good enough, but he can't go 1-3. But I'd make the argument he's done everything he should have done at this point. You go off the premise that he's been hired, right? So you just keep going from there. You don't go way back in the past. And with McDaniels, Rome was burning when McDaniels was fired. You remember that, right? I mean, it was every single day of
like
how
long is this going to take?
Yeah. And in fact,
this is the Denver Bronco best foot forward, and we are still working with a guy who has walking around here with untied shoelaces. He's going to trip and fall eventually. How long does it take?
Right. Much different right now. I think it would be appropriate. I think John has to come out at some point, Al, and sort of declare that and just put it to bed.
I think that would be...
sooner than later.
Yeah, I think that is probably something that probably needs to happen so that this conversation can be done.
To be done with it. Because it's still sort of percolating out there. I mean, you know what you're going to hear if the Broncos were to lose to San Francisco. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, this is not like that Cincinnati. I thought that Cincinnati team was so terrible and so poorly coached. And more or less, they delivered everything I thought they were going to deliver. I just thought the Broncos offense would be a little bit more productive. But, you know, whatever. This San Francisco team, there's no reason they should win. They scare me enough that I think it's going to be a close game and anything could happen. Way more so, in my opinion. Now, it would be awesome to see the Broncos treat the Niners just like they treated the Cardinals. You go on the road, you take a team, you dismantle a weaker opponent, and you win by a million. That'd be terrific. It would set up a very interesting game Saturday night against the Browns. But you know what would happen if the Broncos were to lose. Oh, VJ. Oh, he's terrible. Oh, I knew he wasn't. It was lucky these last three games. And I would say no, I wouldn't go with that. You lose Chris Harris. You lose Emmanuel Sanders. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. But this game sets up to be a tough match, I think. At some point, you got to believe in who you're with.
We should believe that Case Keenum is the better of the two quarterbacks. We should believe that Philip Lindsay is the better of the two quarterbacks.
Which,
we have to believe that our offensive line is the better of the two quarter of the two offensive lines. We have to somehow believe that our wide receivers will play better than their wide receivers. There's no guarantee to that, but those are the things that you hold on. We have no chance of in the tight end department. They have a better tight end.
JT, you're on the fan. Hi, JT.
Hey, guys. Wanted to pick your brain a little bit further here about Philip Lindsay. Something I was thinking about is if he gets more involved in the pass game, especially as like a slot guy, maybe somebody who could return kicks, but more of that all-around back. We talked a couple years ago about how awesome it'd be to have a guy like Christian McCaffrey in the lineup. How does he not add up to a guy like Christian McCaffrey if he can get more involved?
Oh, he is. He's every
like
bit
that.
Of player.
He's got to get more passes thrown to him.
Yeah, he's every bit
right.
of the player, though.
Yeah. 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 They got to throw him the ball more. It's the most simple way to get him more involved. And I'd look for it this week. You know, without Sanders, the way they're going to tweak things, it makes more sense. More throws to the tight end, more throws to the running backs. You know, don't put, what do you think, Deshaun Hamilton's going to get 12 targets? Please. That's not going to happen. There's nobody that's going to, like, just replace Emmanuel Sanders, Al. That, hey, you're the new Emmanuel Sanders. It's not going to happen like that. However, when Cortland Sutton gets 8 targets, catch all the balls, right?
Yep.
Catch all the
don't
catchable footballs.
Don't let him hit your hands and hit the ground.
By the way, VJ said earlier this week, after we're here in week, 13? 14? We're in week 14. There's no more rookies anymore. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. At this stage in the game, oh, this is old hat here.
I mean, you are past what you would play in college, unless you're playing for the championship, right? You're past what you've normally done in a regular season.
Christian McCaffrey has 60 receptions. Excuse me, he has 80 receptions. For 663.
It's stunning. How many touchdowns does Christian have?
He's
got to have at least 8 or 9.
Rushing, he has 5. Receiving, he has 6.
11 touchdowns. 60-something receptions. How many?
80. 80.
Sorry, 80 receptions. How many rushing yards does he have?
I'm thinking like 8. He has 863.
Wow, what a year, huh? And they've lost 4 games in a row. They're falling apart. Because Cam Newton is killing them. Cam Newton is killing the Panthers with interceptions. Killing them. I can't make any sense of it. Christian's pulling his weight, no doubt about that.
As far as Philip Lindsay goes, he has 937 yards rushing.
Awesome.
Here's the crazy part. He's averaging 6.1 yards per carry.
It's stunning.
Kristen is averaging 5.3 yards per carry.
Right. Saquon Barkley's right in that neighborhood as well.
6.1 yards per carry.
How many receptions, though, for
25
Lindsay?
25 for 189.
25 receptions. And that's the difference, right?
That's the difference.
Look up Saquon Barkley. I bet he's got 60 receptions. I bet he's way up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is.
If Christian has 80, I bet Barkley has at least 60.
It was almost like everything that happened with Saquon Barkley was, if you don't like it, throw it to Saquon.
Listen, it's not rocket science. Your best player is Philip Lindsay. Get on the ball a few more times, just like Barkley has, just like McCaffrey has. You do that, you probably change the narrative completely.
Saquon Barkley, what a player.
Oh, it's been an unbelievable year.
What a player, what a kick.
And they've been winning games.
Is that the right way to look at what the Giants represent, a team that's winning games?
Well, they are
or
now.
Or do you just play the young guy?
And Eli is playing better as a quarterback.
Rushing yards in 2018, 954. 4.9 yards per carry. Philip Lindsay is just balling.
Oh, no doubt.
He is just straight up balling.
What's the receptions for Barkley?
Hold on 1 second. Rushing, receiving, 602. 74 for 602.
So isn't it obvious what they need to do on the Broncos offense? I mean, this is painfully obvious, right? Painfully obvious.
74 for 602.
If looking at McCaffrey, looking at Barkley, if you don't get 6 or 7 targets a game to Philip Lindsay, you're killing yourself. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Tonight on The Fan, a game only a mother could love. The Jaguars against the Titans. What a horrible Thursday night football game.
What are you taking?
I'm taking the Titans. Don't follow them.
Jacksonville won last weekend.
I don't care.
Who's the home team? I'm taking the home
team. Titans on a short week.
I'm taking the home team.
That's just, both teams are just so boring to watch.
After we saw the New Orleans Saints get waxed on a Thursday night. Yeah, home team. On a Thursday night.
Hey, what'd you think about the Nuggets pulling off that overtime win in Orlando?
For a team that is trying to establish themselves in the Western Conference, big win.
Pretty impressive, right?
Big win.
Because Orlando makes that shot to send it to overtime, and usually the momentum goes with the home team. The Nuggets are on a very weird road trip, traveling all over the place. Toronto, down to Orlando, now up to Atlanta. It just felt like that's a game... You know, hey, you lose that one, you know, okay. But they pulled it out. I mean, that is winning a game you really had no business winning. Impressive, to say the least.
D-Mac, is this the first weekend of the year where the entire league is playing?
No.
Since week four?
I don't think so. I think everybody played last week.
No.
There were bye weeks last week?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, okay. Well, then okay, yes.
Dallas is, yeah, everybody's
playing this
week.
Who was on a bye week last week?
I don't know, I forget.
All right.
But the last 4 weeks of the year, all teams are playing. I'm looking at all the possibilities of ways for us to at least win one of the fan pick'em this year.
I know.
This is the first time all of the teams have played, I think, since week four.
No, it's been an embarrassing year for the two of us.
No bye weeks last week either? Wait a minute, did we have a full slate of games last week?
Yeah. We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, we tried. At least we tried.
I'm picking the winners right now.
Good. Don't even talk to me about it. You just do your thing. I'll do mine.
You think that the Green Bay Packers find a way to win against the Atlanta Falcons?
No.
You think that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are going to lose at home to the Atlanta Falcons?
They just lost. I don't know. That's a good question. They just lost to... the Cardinals at home, so anything is possible. Mikko Rantanen with his 12th goal of the year, Alfred. What a line that's been. The Avs and the, oh my God, Florida. Yeah, Panthers. Sorry, golly, senior moment. Avs and the Panthers tied up at 1 at the end of 1.
You believe in the Cowboys? Against the Eagles?
Where's the game? I'm taking the Cowboys. Although the Eagles seem to be clicking. You know, they seem to be getting it together. Championship habits. Bumper sticker mentality.
Can you believe that at 4-8 that the Giants are not out of it yet?
Now, I think I read there's only like a couple teams that are actually out of it that have been mathematically eliminated. I think it's like the 49ers, Raiders, and Cardinals. And everybody else still has some sort of bizarre shot to still make the playoffs. Go to 1043thefan.com. King Enter. Supers fan football pick 'em.
Yeah, enter for a chance to win the fan pick 'em this week. And
you win a
shame D-Mac.
I believe $50,000 to King Supers. It's not $50,000. $250. $250. Shame me, yeah.
Okay.
So you can shame me.
Hey, this is Joe from all the way out in Grand Junction.
Yeah.
I won King Supers fan football pick 'em this week.
Uh-huh.
And I get to shame D-Mac.
Okay.
All right, D-Mac, repeat after me.
Yes.
Hey, what can I say? I'm D-Mac, and I'm a shock jock.
For my partner, D-Mac, the shock jock. For
I'm
Big
a
Sexy,
shock jock.
And, of course, Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. See you tomorrow at 3 on the Drive.